From the Korea Economic Institute in Washington, D.C., you're listening to Korean Context, news and analysis from the Korean Peninsula.
Hello, and welcome to this week's episode of Korean Context. I'm Sang Kim, filling in for our host, Jenna Gibson. Jenna is actually in New York to give a talk at the Korea Society that's very relevant for today's episode, which is about K-pop's rise in the United States. She recently spoke with Tamara Herman, a K-pop columnist for the Billboard and Forbes contributor, to get her thoughts on the latest K-pop trends in the U.S. Please enjoy the conversation.
So Tamara, thank you so much for coming down to D.C., both for our panel and then for taking some extra time to talk with me here on the podcast.
Thanks so much for having me. It's been a lot of fun.
So I want to start off from the beginning. I'm really curious, as a fan of Korean pop culture, especially K-pop, how other people found this stuff, especially people who have been following it for a long time. So how did you get interested in Korean culture and K-pop specifically?
So I feel like I've operated in internet spaces since like I was pretty young. And when I was in high school, people started talking about K-pop first they started talking about Korean dramas because I was like, oh, K-pop, I don't really need that in my life. Which was funny because I did need it in my life because I needed music to listen to while I was doing work that wasn't in English, because then I get distracted and then I sing along. Joke's on me because now I just do that to the Korean. But someone suggested Boys Over Flowers and I got into that. And then I was like, oh, the music, this will be perfect to work with. So like high school, my mom used to be like, what are you listening to? I was like, I'm studying. Stop bothering me. Like I'm listening to, I don't know, the soundtrack had SS501 and SHINee and Wonder Girls on it. It was a great soundtrack. And that kind of just spiraled into everything else. So it was like I was looking for music and the dramas found me and it was a perfect blend. And I ended up pursuing a degree in East Asian Studies in college. And then I ended up going into journalism by accident. And then I ended up going into K-pop journalism by accident. So here we are today.
So what was it like for you? Maybe looking back now, it's probably not something you necessarily thought you would do since you were talking about, you know, stumbling into some of these things. But what's it like to see something that you enjoyed as a fan become part of your career?
It's kind of crazy. Some days I'm just like, when I'm having a really hard day, I just tell myself, imagine if like you told high school you, who never told any of her friends because she was afraid of looking like such a weirdo, that she ever listened to K-pop. Imagine if you told high school you, not only like are people paying you for what you want to talk about, but like that other people are interested in hearing what you have to say. And it's hard to remind myself that when I'm going through something rough or if something's not working out with work, because it's still work at the end of the day. But it's like such a cool perspective. Oh, wow, like I'm really able to do this, and not everyone's able to do what they want to do. I've been privileged enough to end up where I want to be in this moment, and yeah, I don't know where I'll be in 5 years, but right now it's a nice thing, and I think little Tamara would have been like, that'll never happen. Even if you had asked me last year if I'd still be doing this, and I don't think the answer would have been yes, because it's not a big field. There's a lot of people in this field. And if K-pop isn't popular, then there's nothing to write about. If people aren't interested, then there's no editors paying for it. So I'm very, very lucky.
So I want to jump off of that because that's something that I've really noticed. And we can talk about the K-pop industry itself and its rise in the U.S. in particular. But you mentioned that there's a lot of people writing about this and that it's a competitive field. Definitely not the case quite recently, even maybe a year or two ago. But I'm seeing now, I mean, we talk about this on Twitter all the time, people who may or may not know much about K-pop writing about it, but in any case, it's getting into more mainstream non-music publications and getting interest. So what do you think about that? And also, how have you brought your perspective as someone who studied East Asian studies to make sure that there is some of that expertise in the cultural context within your writing?
I'm going to call myself an East Asia entertainment expert just because I have a degree in it, but I do consider that the background that I have isn't the same as somebody who's gotten to what they're doing because of K-pop, the music, just because I do have that cultural background. So that's really important for me to like bring into my articles and stuff. But it's definitely, like you said, we talked about it a lot, how like there's some people who maybe are covering it who've never thought of Korea before. And like, it's very interesting for me to always see how some people are just reporting, you know, like they would any other news, and some people are trying to understand. And it's a fascinating, sometimes not so pleasant experience. Some days I'm just like, why are you not hiring people who know how to do this? There is an advantage, or not an advantage, but like there's a difference between someone who's experienced something and a person who's come to like educate themselves about something. And I think that's my perspective, is that I've educated myself about this, and this is something I'm very passionate about. Of course, my experience isn't the same as like a Korean American or a Korean who grew up with K-pop, but I still think that I know what I'm talking about. And so it's kind of infuriating sometimes when I see these articles and I'm just like, you didn't need to do that. But it's really, but even if it's bothering me, it's still great to see that people are interested, because it means that people are reading it or people are viewing it and people are interested. And it's just nice to see that there is this growth. So even if it's personally frustrating, like, it's still great to see that other people are writing about it. And hopefully the people who are writing about it, and like, if they're not doing it in a way that is respectful of the music, if they're not doing something that's, you know, it might be racist. Like, there's been occasions where people are just reading these articles and like, you're being racist. Hopefully they're listening to that. And I try to listen. I mean, I don't just try. I do listen when people are telling me if I've done something like that, which hopefully I don't do. But that's my goal, to keep on educating myself about this stuff. So hopefully other people are also approaching it that way. And hopefully as K-pop gets more and more coverage, I mean, ideally it'd be nice if everyone hired me, but like, if they're not going to do that, hopefully the people who are writing about this stuff are going to like learn a little bit more about it. And hopefully the diffusion that's going on will spread to more and more journalists who are covering it.
Right. So to get into some of the things we were talking about earlier, with the fact that the United States has, until relatively recently, at least in my view, I'm curious if you think differently, but has been kind of this more or less closed off space for especially K-pop. There have been many groups and solo artists who have really tried to break into the U.S. market, and some degree of success, but not really what they would say is breaking into the market fully. But I would say, at least just based on sales and Billboard, which obviously you know all about, that might be reaching a turning point. So I'm curious what you think, number one, if you really think this is a turning point, and also what you think has kind of brought about this inflection point that we might be seeing.
Yeah, so people are always asking me, like, will it just be BTS? Will it be everybody else? And I don't know if it'll be everybody else, but right now with BTS, at least we're seeing that we have reached this breaking point where like people are aware of this band, they're aware of the music, and like the scene that they're coming from is K-pop. And I think that for like the first time ever, this is not just, you know, a one-hit wonder like Gangnam Style was, or and he had other songs that also were popular as a result of that, like people watched Gentleman and stuff because they were interested. But I think that BTS's, you know, success here came after a long, long time, but it's really reflective of how vibrant Korean music's following is in the States. Like, yes, the sales are immense and the charting is really, really wonderful. But it's not just because random people on the street are listening to BTS. It's because the fans are really, 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 really dedicated. And that's great and wonderful. And I think that that dedication and that passion and that has become turned into these historic moments have kind of made America realize, like, oh, this is here. Like, we're really missed this, like, oh, we overlooked this for so long. And I think this was the wake-up call for a lot of people about Korean music in the States. And I think last year Despacito was kind of that for Latin music. But Latin music, so many people in America speak Spanish. And I think that BTS's success has finally convinced people K-pop isn't just for Koreans. K-pop is for their fans who really love them, and they're here, and you can't ignore them anymore. There's no ignoring it anymore. Like, it's impossible to.
Yeah, along those lines, how have you seen, if at all, the Korean entertainment companies that are seeing the success, particularly Big Hit, but of course others as well, seeing the success, and, you know, are they adapting to that? Are they doing anything particular to capitalize on that? I know BTS is about to do their concert tour in the U.S., for example, and it's basically sold out. Ridiculous ticket prices because everyone wants to go see them.
Oh my gosh, so crazy.
So, you know, how are the companies reacting to this popularity?
What I'm seeing is two main things. So Big Hit, they were the first company to hire an American PR team. They weren't a Korean-American PR team. They weren't a Korean team that people were already aware of. They hired a PR team from New York. They had never worked with a Korean artist before. There was no connections or anything, and it worked. And so now other companies have hired local PR companies. I don't know how they went about it, but they've gone to other PR companies. Even BTS switched PR companies. there are other agencies who have signed artists with other PR companies. And that was kind of unheard of. So yeah, that's like something that we're seeing is that like they're hiring local PR firms to help localize the groups. And even at KCON, when groups came into the room, they had their Korean PR person with them. And then they also had their American PR person with them. So they're working together to try to like figure out how to break them into the market in a way that's different. Another thing that is happening is people are aiming for the US market and they're doing it in two ways. One of them is a lot more video. Like I'm getting so many more people. Usually when I reach out to someone in Korea and I want an interview, they're like, oh, can we do written? And then I always have to be like, no, we can't do written. That's not a real interview. Like, can we do phone or Skype or something? Because like they're not in New York, so I can't do that interview otherwise. Now they're coming back with me like, oh, we don't want to do a Skype one. We don't want a written piece. We want a video piece. They want the visuals. And then the other thing is a lot more groups have become more confident that they don't need to release English music to aim for the US market, which was not the case for years. Wonder Girls released a song in English, BoA released a song in English, CL released songs in English. Girls' Generation did, like you thought you had to break into the market with an English song. So there is still some of that. So like Red Velvet is releasing an English language of Bad BoA, but I think that's also partially because the song was originally written in English. Like that was written by the Stereotypes, who co-produced Bruno Mars' last album. They won 2 Grammys for it. This was originally an English song, so like kind of makes sense. But there's none of that. Oh, we need to have an English singing group. We need to have an English. English speakers still help. Like even BTS, like RM speaks English, and other groups definitely have English speakers. But I think that the whole idea that you need everyone to be speaking English and you need everyone to be singing in English to break into the US market has definitely changed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that I think up until recently, I would have said that was, if not the biggest barrier, certainly up there as far as why some of these acts who had tried weren't necessarily successful, because even if you release a one-off song in English, that's not necessarily going to sustain a career or an actual, you know, breakthrough into a market. But so it is really fascinating to see that barrier being essentially just erased. I mean, it's like they just went straight over it and it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I mean, I think that like going back to Despacito, I think like American audiences are just less Anglo-focused nowadays. It's okay if it's not in English, and that's been a real boon for K-pop.
So one thing that you mentioned is the fan culture, right? The fact that fans really are dedicating themselves to this and they care very deeply about their favorite groups and K-pop in general. So what have you seen in terms of that fan culture? I guess personally as a fan of K-pop, you know, being able to have that community of other fans has been really a really cool thing. But how have you seen that play into the success of groups, not only in the US, but just in general?
In general, you don't even need me to say it. There's Park Jin-young of JYP just gave a speech at an investment firm and they posted it onto the JYP YouTube page. And in it, there's a section where he's literally saying, streaming doesn't matter because you're not going to make revenue off it. Album sales matter because you can tell based on album sales how many people are going to go to a concert, because those are the fans who are buying those albums because they want to help boost the sales and they want to help them get music show wins and award show wins and charting. But streaming doesn't have that same impact. So singles charts, to him, to his perspective, don't matter because that's only reflective of the general public's listening taste, but it's not reflective of the fans who are actually spending the money. And that was a really good point, and it was something I've thought about a lot, so it was nice to like hear some validation. But there's a symbiotic relationship where the fans get content, and this is what the bands are doing and the idol groups are doing. They're putting out songs, they're putting out videos, they're putting out teasers, they're putting out tweets. They're doing all this stuff, and the fans in turn are showing their passion through album sales. And a lot of times in fandoms, there's a sense of social inequality between the people who can afford to buy albums and who can afford to go to concerts and the ones who can't. And it's a huge issue. But the album sales really are what make the groups popular. Like, you can't just, if you have a song that does well, you have a one-hit wonder. If you have albums that do well, you have a fan base. So the album sales are really, really important, and they're showing that the fan base is there. And so the fans themselves, yeah, it's great if you're active on social media, but you need to come out and like show your support in a way, and usually that way is going to concerts. And the companies can tell that you're going to come to concerts if you bought the albums. So at least BTS's success in the US, the social media impact is huge because the social media presence has helped more fans buy the albums. And that convinced them, like, oh, we should have a concert tour. That's huge in the US. And then when those tickets sold out, they added another spot. Because of how impactful they are, they're able to get the fans' attention. And the new fans are, you know, in turn spreading the word. And I think it's really wonderful. And I think an act is only as big as their fans are. So when people discount fans, I'm just like, okay, but the only reason that they're popular is because they have fans, and fans like them because they like the music and they like the members. Like, what's so wrong with the fans being how they are? So I think the fans are the most important thing behind K-pop's ascent in the U.S. Without them, like, who cares? Not to draw a comparison, but a lot of people always talk about CL. There were a lot of reasons why CL's lift didn't take off. Oh, that was a good pun. But there were a lot of reasons why whatever happened with CL happened with CL. Because, you know, she had the perfect storm. She was signed to Scooter Braun, and, like, she was really popular, and she is still really popular. But because the attention dipped and because they took so long, those fans weren't, you know, investing in her, either in their time or physically with their money. So by the time that she came out with something and there was still no album, it was just like, okay, well, we can stream the song, we can download the song, we can buy the song, but that's it. There wasn't so much there. You really have to give it to all these K-pop companies, like, yeah, okay, people joke the fans are ATMs, but by you spending money, first of all, you're propelling the career further, but also, like, you're actively taking a role, like you're an investor, essentially. I mean, like, that's not the same thing, but that's how I like to think about it when I'm thinking about how much I've spent on K-pop. But you're actively telling the company, we want this. You don't have votes, but you have buying power. You have listening power. And as I'm talking, I feel like I'm telling people who don't have buying power that they don't have any impact. But that's not true, but you have to work harder. And that's not fair, but it's 2018, so...
Yeah, so before we wrap up, I just want to ask you, are there any quick trends or anything you're following that you think people should keep an eye on?
I think the big trends right now are something different. That sounds really lame, but like right now there's a lot of saturation that's very similarly themed groups or similarly styled music. The groups that are like gaining attention are like Card, who are co-ed, or Dreamcatcher, who are coming out with a pop rock sound and really cool imagery, and Luna, who like had a fun debut concept where they would release a song every single month and stuff. So I think just finding something that's a little bit different, you need more than just good music to stand out nowadays. So yeah, just be a little different and try something new. I think K-pop's kind of reached a point where a lot of people are scared to try something new. They're happy to try something that's a little bit different, but nothing that's like crazy breaking the envelope, and I think we need some envelope breakers right about now.
Okay, great. Well, thank you again for taking your time and for talking about a subject that, as most of my listeners know, is near and dear to my heart. So I always love talking about Korean culture and K-pop and all that kind of stuff. So thank you for your time.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks, everyone, for listening to this week's episode of Korean Context. We will be following this and lots of other Korea-related issues really closely. So please do check out our website, www.kia.org, to see more. Thank you.